Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Chauncey Show, where we're always right, never left. We put God first and politics second. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. I'm very honored, proud, and blessed to have a surprise for myself and for my audience today. Young lady that is running for Congress in South Carolina's 1st District is an extraordinary woman. I'm going to briefly give you an introduction about this extraordinary woman. She's an Army veteran, Black Hawk helicopter pilot. When she was young, at 2 years old, her parents were in a serious car accident, but her father died at the age of 31. Her mother survived the accident and raised her and her 3 siblings. Her mother taught her the importance of education, responsibility, and respect. Ingrid's mom of 2 brothers, 2 boys, who are both, Ingrid is a mother, I apologize, of 2 boys who are both serving in the U.S. Army. And Ingrid is happily married for 24 years to an Army veteran. Ingrid believes that education is the foundation of growth to a prosperous community. And she believes in creating a culture where parents are empowered with the authority to choose what and how their children learn and are the undisputed primary educators of their children, where local schools operate in support of families and where education is unencumbered by federal mandates. Ingrid is a tested combat veteran, proven leader who enjoys science, technology, innovation. Ingrid served our country for over 2 decades in the U.S. Army as a retired lieutenant colonel. She has worked as a project manager for Universal Technical Robotic Controller and as a corporate trainer and motivational speaker. She is actively involved in her community supporting veterans, small business owners, and owns her own small businesses focused on conflict resolution and team building. Ingrid and her entire family have been blessed to live the American dream, the idea that anyone through hard work and determination can achieve anything. And she is committed to ensuring every family has the same opportunity. Today's show means a lot to me. And before I introduce the retired Lieutenant Colonel, I want to share a little story with my audience. A friend of mine who is a retired colonel gave me a call and says, I want you to meet someone. She's running for Congress in South Carolina. I'd like you to have her on our show. And I said, I'd be more than happy to, and I was excited to. So Julie put us on a 3-way call and did the introductions. And unbeknownst to me, when Ingrid shared with me her last name, which is Centurion, it made me reflect back to my high school years where I had a very good friend of mine. I went to high school with named Elizabeth Centurion. And I asked Ingrid if she knew her, unbeknownst to me. Elizabeth is Ingrid's sister. This world is very, very small. And I'm so honored and blessed that life has come full circle where a high school friend of mine's sister's running for Congress. This is one of the most honorable moments in my life that I've been able to experience, to be a part and witness this. Without any further ado, let me welcome to the show retired Lieutenant Colonel Ingrid Centurion.
Hello, thank you. Thank you for having me.
It's an honor and a pleasure to have you, Ingrid. I'm nervous today. having you on the show, and I'm also honored and blessed for your service to our country. Thank you for sharing your video today with me. Very, very inspiring. I will be sharing that with my audience later today and tomorrow. I've talked a little bit about you. If you'd like, let's just get right into, the meat of everything. you're running for Congress because you're unhappy with the way our country is going, the way average Americans are being treated, and you want to stand up for the working people. Talk about what you want to do when you get to Congress. Identify some of the problems and just enlighten us on how you want to serve our country again in South Carolina.
Well, I want to serve to save my children and my grandchildren from socialism. There is a rise of socialism and socialist leaders in Congress. And that's why I'm running for Congress.
We are living in very challenging times, as you know, as being a military veteran. Let's talk about the current state of our national government, our military, what our current situation is under Joe Biden, and if you can give us some ideas on what we need to do to bring us back on track.
As a mother, as a mom, I'm an Army mom. I have two boys currently serving, and I want them to stay alive. And we have to have a strong defense. And that's one of the jobs of a congressman, is to ensure that we are safe as Americans, not only in this country, but as Americans, as we travel abroad, as we are in other countries. And what's currently happening today in Afghanistan is a disgrace to many veterans who have served. And that's what a congressman's job is to keep us safe. And I have a background in national security and immigration issues. In Iraq, I searched for terrorist groups. That's what I did. Along the border, I worked to protect our borders. I truly have on-hands experience on what is necessary to protect this nation from a technology perspective, from an operational perspective, and from an intelligence perspective. Most congressmen don't have the background and experience that I have, and that's why I feel so ready and so eager to continue to do what I did while I served for 22 years, is to protect the American people.
And thank you so much for your service. We are living in some difficult times. And talking about Afghanistan, I want to briefly send out prayers to my friends that are veterans, Paul Crespo being one who I've spoken to personally. And I know that there are a lot of veterans that have been helping save and rescue people.
There's veterans that are helping that are rescue people. There are congressmen that their staff and their team is working hard to get Americans out of Afghanistan. And we have to thank them for that. And it's a shame that anyone was left behind, and it's a shame that any equipment was left behind. These are things that all of this should have been done properly, come together to help. And that's where we are right now.
You know, I don't mean to put you on the spot, but can you give us a possible reason why they left the situation the way they did, leaving thousands of Americans, and they want to say it's only about 100, which they're lying, thousands of Americans that are still trapped in Afghanistan? Why? I'm not a military person, but why would we leave our equipment there? They took over the embassy. They got the data of everyone who cooperated with the government. How did this happen?
Well, it's the Secretary of Defense responsibility. It's the President's responsibility. It's the Secretary of State's responsibility. There's a lot of agencies here that have to take responsibility for this operation. But ultimately, their job is to protect Americans abroad. And it's sad that this is happening. I cannot answer the question why they would do such a thing. It is irresponsible.
Yeah, it's totally irresponsible.
You would have to ask them. But any exit plan, right? Even when you move, you're moving your home, you plan that out, right? You there's so much planning that goes into a move, and they must take full responsibility. And it's, they're constantly blaming someone else for this when no. The PEEP voted in President Biden and this administration, and they must take full responsibility for their actions.
Today, Obama's former CIA chief said that as a result of this disastrous evacuation, it's given rise to jihadists, Al-Qaeda, as well as the Taliban terrorists. What situation has Joe Biden with this disastrous exit plan put Americans in a position of being threatened again?
Well, I always see it like this. I worked on the border. I understand the border issues that we have. Biden and the Biden administration, since they got in office, they have created a disaster on our border. People are coming into this country. We don't know who's coming in. We don't know where they're coming in. They're not getting vaccinated. This is creating a disaster. We have to know who's in our country. And that's really what it comes down to. And until we get a handle on our borders, on so many things, the rise of another terrorist event, activity, may happen. We don't want it to happen, but we are less safe under President Biden. And that's one of the reasons why I'm running, because I can't sit on the sidelines and complain. I've always supported all of my presidents. In the military, when we're in the military, we support the command chief. That's what we do. And right now, President Biden and his administration, they are not making our lives safer. And so I don't want to complain about it. I want to get in there and I want to make a difference. Not everybody runs for office. It's a tough thing. It's a challenging thing. It's a lot of sacrifice on your family. People need to understand that. Why would someone want to run? I'm running because I want to save my children and my grandchildren's future from socialism. People need to realize that this is happening. We're moving in this direction, and we're moving in the direction of socialism. We're moving in this direction of communism, and people are being forced to do things. I used to hear stories from my aunt in Argentina on how if they didn't show their papers, they would get arrested. They weren't allowed entry into things. And it's here. It's happening today.
I remember as a boy growing up in Patterson, as well as you did, your home city. My dad told me if we didn't walk around with identification, we could be arrested as considered being a vagrant. The laws for illegals are different than the laws for Americans in this country. And I just want to just jump back for one second. As you were talking about the border being open, the overflow of immigrants coming in, not being tested, the same thing as Afghanistan. As a result of the 100,000 that were extracted out of Afghanistan and brought to the U.S. now, they've halted that because of the measles outbreak. The point I want to get to is how come there's not a system in place, not only to vet, but we're not even checking the health status of these individuals, of diseases they might be bringing into this country, yet Joe Biden wants to come down on the American people with a heavy hand, yet we got a COVID spike as a result of the open border, and he wants to blame it on the unvaxxed. I hope that when you get to Congress, We could really look at immigration reform, but look at how not only we vet, but there has to be a health component to it. So we're able to check the status of these people's health rather than just welcoming them into the country. What say you?
What I say is that I'm a very process-driven person. I love a system, and we have to have a system, and we have to have a secure system, and we don't have a system today. You're right. There are no checks and balances at the border. You remember the stories of, you know, grandpa coming from Italy or coming from whatever country, and they said they stopped them at Ellis Island, and they checked them out, and they went through a process, and then they got their papers, and they got their documentation. We don't have any of that. And so you're right. We need to fix our immigration process, and we need to make sure that the people that come to this country have good intentions, and they're here to work. They're not here to plan terrorist activities or here for nefarious businesses and nefarious operations. Because not everyone coming across the border, you know, are great, hardworking people. Many of them are. Many of them just want to make a better life for themselves. But we have to have a process of tracking who's in our country. I keep this pretty simple. You know, you have a home, right? You lock the front door. You don't let everybody come through your home.
How has the immigration crisis affected your home state of South Carolina?
Well, we have this is a growing state. It's a beautiful state, a lot of environmental areas, and a lot of new businesses. It's growing. I don't see many you know, immigration issues. This state, I think, has a good handle on a lot of that. Not like some other states where they pass laws that basically tie the hands of police when it comes to illegals and illegals who have completed or have done pretty, you know, bad things, you know, like catch and release type thing.
You know, as a result of this border crisis, not only has COVID been on the rise, human trafficking, guns.
Yes.
Fentanyl.
Yes.
Fentanyl, heroin, cocaine. I mean, really, I've, you know, I can't believe what this country has, what we've seen. After the 4 years of Donald Trump, and in 7 months, I could not imagine that one person could ruin a country in 7 months on all fronts. It really is. It really boggles my mind. What are some of the issues?
Well, you have to remember it. Yeah. Oh, sorry. Go ahead. Finish asking your question.
No. I apologize because there is a delay, and I did. I paused. So no. Please go ahead. It's okay.
Now I was going to say it's not just one person, right? It's not just one person. It's an administration of people. We can't. You know, I always hate to place blame, but we have to look at how the country was, before, you know, under President Trump, and where we were. The nation was much secure, and he did a lot of great things to have some controls on our borders, and all of that was removed the first week in office. And I've been tracking this. And I remember making a post about this on social media because I am very concerned about our border and keeping our country safe. When I worked along the border, I walked the border along Marfa, New Mexico. I spent 2 months at the San Ysidro Port of Entry. I flown the border in a manned aircraft and have really understand the issues that the Border Patrol and our law enforcement agencies face along the southern border, along the maritime border, along the northern border. When I talk about the border, people don't realize it's not just the ground. We also have the air. We have subterranean. and we have maritime. The job of the Border Patrol is such a challenging job. And we need more Border Patrol agents. We really need a better plan for security when it comes to our nation's borders. And that's something that I could provide great, tremendous expertise to when I'm in Congress, when I sit on the committee.
Absolutely. You know, some of our best U.S. senators and our best congresspersons are those who have served in the military because they understand federal government, they understand the Constitution, they understand protecting our nation, they understand our rights, our freedoms.
Another thing that a congressman is supposed to do is to provide for the economic growth of our country. I'm a small business owner. I've helped other small business owners. Small business is the heart of America. And there are so many hardworking small businesses out there that were hit so hard by COVID, and they had to shut down their businesses. I have a great background to help in, one, motivating and inspiring and growing more small businesses. And that's, you know, women small business owners, minority small business owners. You know, not everybody starts a business. You know why? Because it's a lot of work. And not everybody wants to work. Some people choose to not work and just get a paycheck. And I grew up working hard. Working hard is a good thing. It keeps you mentally, physically, and our bodies. And I can provide so many, you know, great ideas on how we can stimulate our economy when it comes to small businesses.
Let's bring it home. To your home state of South Carolina and to your district in particular. What are some of the challenges in your district that you talk to your constituents or potential constituents about outside of the national landscape? Some of the things I know you just mentioned with small business. What other things have impacted your district that you would like to talk about and solve within your district?
Well, one of the biggest things in the district is the growth of population. South Carolina has experienced great growth. People are moving down here all the time. The population has grown tremendously. So with the growth, there needs to be proper master planning. I'm a visionary person. You always want to plan into the future. I've been planning and planning and planning and planning. You never stop planning. And we have to look at the infrastructure, right? We have to look at pollution. We have to look at our schools. Are there enough schools for the growth? And this is all areas that I have great experience in. I'm actually joint planner certified in the Army, you know, planning multiple aviation and complex operations. Everything requires planning. And you have to plan 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, you know, 20-year plan. At least you have a blueprint to start off, and as things change, you can modify and adjust. But the environment here is also very important. This is such a beautiful state. So for me, it is beautiful. And we want to keep it that way. And those are areas to, you know, I want to conserve and preserve everything that's beautiful about South Carolina. And we can do that with smart, advanced technology.
With your background of planning, strategic planning and long-term planning,
yes.
It sounds like you're a better candidate.
Here's a great story. We recently had a house that was hit by lightning, and the house went on fire. And I have a friend that actually he develops lightning mitigation tools. You know, who has a friend that knows someone that develops lightning mitigation tools? Well, that's the kind of stuff that I like. I love technology. And I actually have been working with an MIT startup company called Lunar Station Corporation. And what Lunar Station has been doing is we've been collecting all this data and we've been analyzing all the environmental the environmental events that happen on the moon to predict patterns in the future. And you know, I'm just like a technology geek like that. I love learning.
I'm glad that.
And I love keeping people safe. Remember, everyone is a safety officer. You always need to be thinking about safety, 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 safety. And there's so many things today that are so unsafe in our communities. It's another reason why that I am running for office, because I really want to keep people safe. And everyone should think like a safety officer, but not everybody does.
You know, you're absolutely correct. Me as a retired fire captain, I was in charge of communications as well as emergency medical services. Safety and training, as you know, we know, is the key. I'd like to step outside of our Earth for a second, and I'd like to go to space with you.
Okay, great.
Since you brought up technology, I want to talk about...
Yeah,
space.
I love the moon, too.
Well, that's where I'm going. I want to talk about Trump developed the new arm of the military called Space Force. And I'm glad that you said that you're excited about it, because I'm excited for you to share some of the goals and objectives of Space Force. As much as you can, that is within the safe limit of you being able to speak about a Space Force. Can you talk a little bit about Space Force?
I was so excited when I found out that he was creating the Space Force. Let me tell you, because people don't know that we have to protect our satellites, that we have assets that we have to protect. We're critical to communications. And he's so forward-thinking, and I really am so excited that, you know, our younger generation can be a part of that in, one, keeping space clean, keeping space safe, and protecting the assets that we have. Most people don't understand this, but they want good cell phone service, right? And they want good reception on their TV, and all of this is advanced technologies that has to do with communication. And not only do we have to protect those assets, but we have to protect those assets from the bad guys that are jamming us, that are trying to intercept us, that are listening. This is such an important task and mission, and I'm very, very excited about the future, because we are just so advanced in research that we're doing in the government and with small businesses. This gives small businesses the opportunity to really bring to market great technology that's going to keep us safer. It's always about that, safer.
You know, also, thank you for sharing with us a little bit about what Space Force is about, to protect our satellites, to protect terrorism, internet terrorism. Also, I've noticed that the government, along with the big private corporations, have been partnering to do things like develop a population on the moon eventually, or on Mars. These are extraordinary times that we're living in. Not only that we're talking about it, but we're in the process of doing it. You know, and not only in space, underground, under the ocean, we are creating atmospheres below and above that is extraordinary during our lifetime. Now, I mean, kids probably think it's nothing, but for older people like you and I, we didn't grow up with technology. We had black and white televisions. We didn't have cell phones. We didn't have computers. So, you know, I get excited like you do when we talk about technology, because we didn't grow up with this stuff, you know. And
I want to talk about population on the moon, because that's funny, because I like people. Now, I would not want to live on the moon. No. And whoever wants to go live on the moon is probably someone that doesn't like people, okay? Because you're going to have all this gear on. It's going to be hard to breathe. You have to do like 4 hours of exercise every day because you lose muscle mass and all that kind of stuff. Those astronauts that go out up there, you know, they work out. and run and have a lot of resistance training because you have no gravity up there, less gravity. So, yeah, I don't know about, you know, this population that wants to go on the moon. So I would be concerned over these people who want to live on the moon. But I think that there's going to be great technology, maybe in manufacturing, that will be invented because of creating systems and operations and mechanical type things in an environment that has no gravity.
What is, in your opinion, the greatest threat to the United States right now? The reason why I ask you that question is because we're talking about Space Force. We're talking about protecting our satellites. It made me think most people don't know what an electronic pulse is, magnetic pulse, EMP. Am I saying it correctly? Am I saying it correctly?
Yes, you're saying it correctly. You know, we've been fighting the greatest challenge has been cyber warfare for a long time, and I would say that's what it is, and we see it happening today. Cybersecurity and the cyber warfare that's going on, we see it from this past election where a lot of people are, you know, very concerned over election integrity, and this has been going on for a long time. So
I would say that continues
to be the biggest threat. Nobody's talking about that. They want to make other things. They want to make you scared and fear certain things, but those truly are not the greatest threats. Just like, you know, airplane, flying in an airplane is safe. You're safer in an airplane than getting in your vehicle. In some states, the people drive like maniacs. There's so many accidents, right? You know, what is the greatest threat? That all depends on your environment. Everything is always about your environment, right?
Mm-hmm.
My father died in Camden, New Jersey. Camden, New Jersey has been one of the dangerous cities in America for a very long time. Is it still the most dangerous city in America?
Yes.
Yes. Why?
It is one of the top most dangerous cities in the nation, Camden, New Jersey.
That's right.
Well, that's because of the Democrats.
My father died in a car accident.
Yes.
In Camden, New Jersey. And I know a lot of people that have been in very dangerous situations in Camden, New Jersey. And here we are 20, 30 years later. Camden, New Jersey is still one of the most dangerous places in America. What is going on?
For those that are tuning in, I know I'm a little late. You're listening to The Chauncey Show. I'm having an exciting conversation with a friend of mine who is running for Congress. For my audience, we briefly went over electronic EMP is electronic magnetic pulse. And for my audience, what that does is it sends a pulse where it could knock out all the electrical, the East Coast, the country. Now, how do they send out that electronic magnetic pulse? I guess that has something to do with Space Force, how they would send that out there. Okay. But I know that is possible where the new threat that we're talking about, cyber warfare, we saw it over the past several months since Biden has been elected. We saw the oil company down by you get hijacked, and then they wanted $5 million for ransom. As a matter of fact, I think it happened a couple of times, not the EMP, but the cyber hacking of our infrastructure. And that's something that we really need to address is the safety of our internet, of our cybersecurity. You know, that's because, you know, once they get in there, I mean, anything that can create a war, anything can happen. You know, it's we're living in very challenging
times. Well, you say, you know, what's the greatest threat for young parents today with their children in school? They feel it's the education.
Oh, without
education
question.
Is the greatest threat. You know, the future of our children and their education, that's very important. I could give you that answer. But really, you know, threats are everywhere, and they're all environment dependent. And I'm always talking about safety, and it's so important to keep your family safe. When you travel, it's family, you know, it's important to keep your family safe at home, and everything should be about, you know, keeping us alive, making our community safer so we can live happy and have a future.
You know, Ingrid, I want to say thank you. When you mentioned education, I'm a former commissioner of education in New Jersey. I served two terms. But education, you're right. Right now, I would have to say, is one of our biggest threats because of the indoctrination of Marxism and socialism into our educational system is the beginning of communism. So that is a great threat right now. Education in our country is impinging upon our morality, our religion. It's teaching our kids things that I don't believe that they should be teaching them. You know, whether it's different sexual orientations and all these other things that little kids should not be learning. It's a shame that the morality in this country is eroding rapidly. Faith is under attack. Religion is under attack. People that believe in God are under attack. People that believe in just doing the right thing are under attack.
Well, that's just bullying. And, you know, we have to stand up. We have to speak out. We can't be afraid to speak. Speech is important. But we do see parents now stepping up. Parents are realizing what's going on, and you're seeing parents now protesting and then going out to school boards and getting more involved. Of course, the parents that can do that, being raised by a single mom, my mom was always working. And, you know, it's hard, but kids can kids need to be taught to learn how to think, how to have critical thinking skills, not just spoon-fed information, right?
Amen.
I love when kids ask questions and challenge the teacher. That's what they're supposed to do. But we do have university environments around the country where if you challenge, you get downgraded, and that is terrible. Our universities are behaving and not building critical thinkers. They're creating groupthink people. You have to think like the group. And I've never been someone like that.
You know, I know that education is the cornerstone of your candidacy as we're listening to you talk about the importance of it now. It is critical. It is critical. And, you know, you mentioned a term that I use often that we don't hear in education, critical thinking skills. That is so important for our children not only to survive but to thrive in a global environment. And we're not teaching our kids civic responsibilities. We're not teaching our kids American government. We're not teaching our kids about the U.S. Constitution. We're teaching our kids to test, as you just said, to group, to be followers of groups, identity politics, I call it as well.
Exactly.
You know, it undermines Dr. Martin Luther King's message. And, you know, we grew up together with Martin Luther King talking about being judged by the content and the character of your being. And the Democrats and the left have turned that message from Martin Luther King on its head by using identity politics to justify their position for failed policies or no policies. And it's sad. Ingrid, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule today to come on my show. I know you're running in 2022. I hope that you would come on my show again so we could have more dialogue on these very important issues in the nation. K Can you please share with my audience if they want to volunteer, donate, or contact you, have any questions? Can you please share that information with my following audience?
Yes, please. I need all the help I can get. It's centurionforcongress.com. I am on Twitter. I'm on Facebook, Ingrid Centurion for the People of South Carolina. I am on Instagram, Ingrid.Centurion1. I have a TikTok account that I'm going to be working on because I want to reach the younger generation. And I have, what else do I have there? Facebook, Twitter. I have Twitter. I'm on Twitter. There's so many. I'm on Rumble. That's another one.
The most important one today
is YouTube.
Is YouTube.
Oh, actually, you're right. The most important for today is YouTube, my link. Please share that video with your friends all around the country. Post it, and provide good comments on YouTube. I'm a patriotic American. I love my country. I love my children and my grandchildren, and I want to continue to serve. That's all I can do.
Thank you. And for my listeners and my subscribers to YouTube, I've already liked the video, so you can find it in my like videos on the Chauncey Show channel on YouTube as well if you can't locate it. Thank you so much for your service to our country. And thank you so much for your courage for wanting to stand up again to serve the American people, not only in the state of South Carolina, but the nation. That takes a lot of courage to get involved in politics with the outstanding career that you had. And my hat is off to you. And I will you the best of luck.
Thank you so much, Chauncey. I'd love to be on again.
Thank you very much. God bless you and your family.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're listening to The Chauncey Show. We're always right, never left. We were proud and blessed to have in the studio today Army veteran, Black Hawk helicopter pilot and congressional candidate from South Carolina's 1st District, Ingrid Centurion, running for Congress. We covered a lot today. We talked about the border. We talked about Afghanistan. We talked about education. We talked about issues that impact America and this country dearly. I want to take a moment to thank all of my listeners for listening and all of my supporters. Please help us if you can. We do this for we the people, and we rely on small donations from our supporters so we can continue to be a voice for we the people. Please consider making your donation to PayPal me the Chauncey Show, PayPal me the Chauncey Show, or become a mayor, become a member of Patreon, and you can donate there as well. Next up this week on Thursday at 6 o'clock, we're going to have Marvin Jeffcoat in the studio. He is a conservative. He is running for councilman in Queens, New York. Excited to hear about the impact that he wants to do in New York. New York is leading the country in socialism and progressive politics, and Marvin has an uphill battle, but we're going to be excited to have him on the show this Thursday and hear what he has to say. You can follow The Chauncey Show on all platforms. The Chauncey Show only on Twitter. It's Chauncey Show USA. I am Chauncey, your host. You can follow me on all social media platforms at NY Talk Radio Host. That's New York Talk Radio Host. Please follow, send me comments, and I want to thank all of my supporters again for your support. I keep you and your family always in my prayers. If it wasn't for you, there would be no Chauncey Show. Thank you all. Have a good evening. Until next time, God bless you all, and keep the faith. Good night now.